Today's Easter Gospel once again speaks about earthly things and heavenly things. This has been part of the discussion all week. Jesus' instruction to Nicodemus was about heavenly things, not earthly things. Birth from above, not birth from below. Well, let me start with something earthly. When I saw the calendar this morning and I saw it was April 15th, the very first thing that came to my mind is that in the United States, that's the day when the taxes are due. I don't know, is that true in the Philippines too? Anyway, it's a cultural thing. It's nothing to do with the scriptures or the tradition or anything moral. It's a cultural thing. And in my youth, and especially in years when I was working and had to pay taxes, April 15th was a significant deadline. You had to submit your form to the government before midnight. It had to be postmarked by the 15th. So people really always putting things off to the last minute. I would be rushing to the post office on the 15th. Nowadays, I suppose people do it online. I don't know, digital tax returns. I don't know. I've been out of that for a while. But that's what came to my mind when I saw the calendar was, oh, it's the tax deadline. What can be more earthly than taxes? But it shows that we are formed by an earthly culture and by earthly experiences. I remember my parents trying to finish their tax return before the 15th. And for them, it was complicated because they had many children and they had different sources of income. And my father, who knew all the tax laws, was trying to figure out the proper deductions and exemptions and all sorts of things. Because, of course, we are obliged to pay taxes, but we're not obliged to pay more than we have to. So that's always the question. How much do you really have to pay? It can be very complicated. Okay, the point here is we're formed in earthly culture, in earthly things, and that's what came to my mind. But we are also, because we're not only earthly, we are heavenly, we're baptized, we're born from above, so we're also schooled in a heavenly culture. And that's what the liturgy is. Liturgy is heavenly culture, and it's training us to enter into the rhythms of heaven. Just like the earthly culture follows its own calendar, April 15th is so significant on the American calendar. Well, the heavenly calendar also has its own rhythms and landmarks. And the key landmark of the whole year is Easter Sunday. Once you know when Easter Sunday is, you can figure out almost anything. You work backwards, figure out when Palm Sunday is, figure out when Ash Wednesday is. You can go forward and say, well, now we know when Pentecost is and the feast days that come after Pentecost. It's the anchor of the whole year. So here we are in the second week of Easter, and we're journeying through or following the curriculum of this heavenly school. Now we use the scriptures. The scriptures are a collection of sacred writings. We don't simply start on page one and read through until the end of the book. We take selections. The church gives us very carefully chosen selections for the different seasons of the year. I mention this because we're going through John's Gospel now. In the first week, the octave of Easter, we choose from many Gospels, all focusing on the resurrection. But once we get to the second week, we start looking at John's Gospel and taking selections that are important for entering into the mystery of Easter. So in the second week of Easter, we have spent 3 days already with Jesus and Nicodemus. And the center of that conversation is being born from above, being guided by the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. In the third week of Easter, in the daily liturgies, we'll be reading from John chapter 6. This week, John chapter 3. Well, John chapter 6 is all about the bread of life, the bread of life chapter. So all next week will be into that. In this week, more focused on baptism. Next week, more focused on Eucharist, the two sacraments that flow from the heart of Jesus. Well, all the sacraments flow from the heart of Jesus, but the blood and water are the Eucharist and baptism. Today's gospel is also from John chapter 3, but it's not from the conversation of Jesus and Nicodemus. This is a little bit of a challenge for the scripture scholars. If you look this passage up, you'll discover that the scripture scholars are all flustered about who actually says these words. Does John the Baptist say this? Does Jesus say this? Or does the evangelist say this? It's not that clear. And it's hard to figure out because when you go back to the old manuscripts, there's no punctuation marks, there's no spaces, there's nothing. There's just a whole string of letters all crammed together. And it's pretty hard to tell sometimes who says what. That's the scriptural perspective. But we're not stuck in that because we're taking a liturgical perspective. It doesn't matter to us that much whether John said it or Jesus said it or John the Baptist or John the Evangelist, because it's all the Word of God and it's what God is saying to us today, April 15, 2021. This is God's Word to us. So God is speaking to us about what is earthly and what is heavenly, and He's giving us heavenly wisdom about the role of the Son sent by the Father. The Son has come to testify to what He has seen and heard. Testimony is very important in John's Gospel. But no one accepts His testimony. So here it is, Easter season, the revelation of God is entrusted to us, the good news of eternal life, and who accepts the testimony? Whoever accepts His testimony certifies that God is trustworthy and has eternal life. I'm just summarizing, has eternal life. So we're being schooled in this way of thinking that we accept the testimony of Jesus Christ, we accept the revelation, we trust in God, and we live a heavenly life. Now, we also live an earthly life, of course. We still have to pay our taxes. We still have to go about our daily routines. But we do so with the awareness that we have the Holy Spirit, that we live a life that does not end here. Natural life ends when we die. Our life with God does not end when we die. Natural life begins when we're conceived. Our supernatural life begins when we're baptized, and it doesn't end. Okay, so that awareness of heavenly things changes our experience of earthly things. Now we look at the example, once again, the beautiful and simple, straightforward testimony of the apostles in front of the Jewish authorities. So we've seen examples of this already, but here's another beautiful case of how to live a heavenly life when you're planted in the middle of a very earthly experience. Here they are on trial. Not really on trial, it's like an inquisition. They're being questioned. And the one who questions them here is the high priest. Doesn't mention his name, but we know that it's Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the highest authority in the Jewish religion at that time, and the one who determined that Jesus had to die, who demanded to the Roman government that this man Jesus had to die. So this is Caiaphas, someone who's not afraid to demand that people be executed. He's done it before. A rather ruthless authority. Okay, so here's Caiaphas. He says to the apostles, "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name. Doesn't want to mention the name. Doesn't want to mention that person, like to blot him out, the memory of Jesus. But this is what he's saying. This, now remember, this is earthly. This is an earthly thing. Earthly power giving an earthly order on an earthly level. Don't say anything about that name. Now you've disobeyed us. You filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. That's a very interesting way of saying it. The blood of Jesus, the blood flowing from the heart of Jesus, the saving blood, the precious blood. This is exactly what the apostles want. They want Caiaphas and the other members of the Sanhedrin to be saved by the blood of Jesus. They want everyone in the world to have the blood of Jesus upon them. It's the message of salvation that Jesus died and rose for our salvation. Okay, so that's exactly what they want. This is what Caiaphas does not want. Now, the interesting thing here is Caiaphas is guilty of the death of Jesus in a way that not everyone is. I mean, we're all guilty because we're all sinners. But Caiaphas was a direct instrument. Something like Judas, Caiaphas. If he were an honest man, he would not have to hide that this man's blood is upon him. He would have simply said, yes, the man is a blasphemer. He deserved to die. We condemned him. He was executed. And he would not have had any problem with that, because it's true. But we see he's not so concerned about the moral impact of having executed an innocent man. What he's concerned about is losing control over the people, losing his popularity or his power over the people. That's what he's really worried about. So not about his moral condition, but about his earthly status. We learned yesterday that the high priests were filled with jealousy. This is evidence of it again. What do Peter and the apostles say? I love this. We must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. We live on a heavenly plane, not only on an earthly plane. Heavenly things, earthly things. That's the whole message here. Peter is saying, and he knows he's here in front of the ruthless Caiaphas, but he's saying, I don't belong to Caiaphas. I don't belong to the earthly level. I belong to God. We belong to God. And God is the one we're going to obey. Then he goes on to proclaim again the gospel. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed. He puts it right there on his lap. You had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins, including you, Caiaphas. God raised him up to set you free from your sins too. He set me free from my sins. Peter could say, I'm a sinner. I denied him three times. God set me free. You put him to death. God can set you free. It's a message, a powerful message, a heavenly word of freedom, of salvation. Peter is a witness of not his own authority or his own goodness, his own power, but of something heavenly. The one whom the Father sent. It's a beautiful message. What happens? They became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. Exactly what Jesus says. No one accepts the testimony. Not no one, but in this case, Caiaphas and the high priests, they do not accept the testimony of the apostles. This is the Easter reflection for the day. We're just being reminded once again that we have been brought up, we have been introduced or been born from above, and so we have a higher level to live on and a higher perspective on which to judge everything, a higher basis for our actions and our relationships. Not only are we to live this way, but we are to testify to the world that this gift has been given to us, even though we know there will be those who do not accept the testimony. It doesn't matter, because we are called to obey God, not men. Obey God, not men. So we pay our taxes, but we're not... Even if we don't pay them, we're going to leave everything behind when we die anyway. So let's live for God. Let's obey God. Let's live the life that God has given us now and forever. Amen.